Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, this week we had taken up the subject of Jesus' statement in Luke chapter 17, remember Lot's wife. And I want to backtrack for the next few days and look at an event that happened just before this whole discussion of the coming of the kingdom and this question that the apostles had said to our Lord and asked that him to increase their faith. And the Lord had gone into a great explanation there. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and they would obey you. And he goes on to explain in verse 10, so likewise, when you've done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. But I want to focus on what happens right after this. Jesus tells the account of, and we get the account in Luke, about Jesus healing these 10 lepers. And it's such a beautiful account, an important account. I want to read it, and then we'll comment on it the rest of this week. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Well, from the beginning of time, there really was one question that has continued to ring through the halls and the corridors of time. Adam, where are you? You'll remember right out of Genesis, that was one of the very first things the Lord said. Following the fall, after Adam and Eve had taken of the fruit of which they should not to, the cry that came out from the Lord and in judgment really was, Adam, where are you? Adam had hid himself from his sin. And the question, of course, continues to be heralded today. Not only does it came to Adam back then, but it comes to his descendants, and it comes to us in the Word every time we read the word, where are you? See, we come to a passage the rest of this week that demands us to ask, have we returned to Christ, the shepherd and the overseer of our souls, or have we taken from him as he continues to ask, where are you? The passage that I just read, of course, is one of these encounters that Jesus had in his earthly ministry. It's a very fascinating encounter, one of my favorites to consider. Is in verse 11, we read this statement, now it happened as he went through Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered the village, there met him these 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Now, the fact that Jesus had passed through Samaria and Galilee is of no small consequence. Going back in history, this is where Elijah and Elisha had their ministries. And Jesus would have been not been unfamiliar with this region. It was here that he had earlier met the woman at the well. But it also mentions Galilee. Galilee, of course, was inhabited with a mixed race of Jews and Gentiles. And immediately, Luke wants us to see that Jesus was heading toward Jerusalem and passed through these villages and region that would have been viewed as a place of the unclean. That's exactly what the narrative picks up, for as he is about to enter this village, 10 lepers, were standing afar off. Now that makes absolute sense. According to Levitical law, in Leviticus 13:46, lepers were excluded from entering towns. Listen to what that verse says. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. Clean, and he shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he has shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Now, I don't think we really have any idea of what this disease was like. They say today that modern medicine has all but eliminated the disease, but it was one of the most foul-smelling and disgusting things that could happen to someone in their skin. It was infectious. It was characterized by large scabs and sores where the skin would turn white and shiny beneath. Eventually, those parts of the body would die and loss of these body parts would become common. Well, the scene presented to you is that their sickness had drawn them together. It had broke down national barriers because the text communicates that one was a Samaritan, implying that the others were Jews. The Jews, of course, believed that leprosy was an outward symbol of sin and that they were being punished for some sort of sin in their life to obtain and receive this disease. And here, even the fact that the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, the whole thing is broke down, and the picture is that their misery had brought them together. But the Gospels communicate something far more important than this. All these accounts in the Bible, when Jesus has these encounters with sick people and people who are the rejects of society, all of these accounts in the Gospels are designed to teach us that everyone before the Lord is infected and unclean to be in His presence. Everyone by nature, like it or not, is like a sore before God, becoming worse and worse, smelling, and as Revelation 3 says, teaching that will result in the unclean being eternally shut out of the city of God. And that's pictured here. These people stood outside of the camp. Now, all these accounts then are to teach us that the leprosy of our sin has rendered us outside of the camp of the Garden of Eden, barred from the presence of God because we are filthy. Our spiritual leprosy excommunicates us from God. But the picture presented to us is that many do come to see their misery in this life. The world continues on without any recognition that those outside the camp represent them. The most vile of our society, the serial killers, the murderers, the thieves, the sick, those shut out from our society behind bars, all tell us that it is all our predicament by nature before God. Our society teaches us this. Nature teaches us this. We are foul before the living God. And here in this text, 10 men are outside the city who recognize this. What is the first thing we say here when we evaluate this text? Many desire to be freed from the consequences that their misery and their sin has brought upon them. If you look at verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Master, have mercy on us." Isn't that something? Many will come to Jesus. They will come as far as they are allowed to come, and they will cry out to him. I mean, let's face it, living in this sin-cursed world, no matter who it is, the pain of it can become terribly distressing. And as people continue on in their life, they seek to be freed from the effects of sin, but covering it with life's enjoyments. We want to work less and have more time for pleasure. We're constantly working hard to improve the quality of life so that we don't have to feel the pain of sin and our own leprosy. Medications increase to keep us from feeling the real effects of what years ago people had to endure. We desire numbness to our misery. We want more money to enjoy the things that this life has to offer. We want homes and cars. We want to surround ourselves with family and the good life, as it's called. The American dream, typically, is how it's designated. And so we seek for pleasure. And really, if we're honest, we really want to be our own little gods, filling our times with the things that make us happy. But the fact is that it's an endless search. Everyone on the quest for independence and enjoyment, and often finding themselves faced with the hard realities of having this thing before God called spiritual leprosy. We can't get rid of it. It grows worse and worse, and it affects, and it's become more and more painful as time goes. Misery loves company, and as a company, we love to overcome the misery. We turn on the news and we see broken homes, broken marriages. We see hatred. We see violence. Life is hard. Sin has brought terrible bondage upon people that drives a deep, incessant desire to be freed from it. And all these things hit a little closer to home. They happen to one of our children or a loved one. They come upon us, our marriages. We begin to feel the strain, financially maybe. Struggles plague us. Our health maybe fails. We're a walking time bomb when it comes to our health. We carry around this thing that ticks within us, telling us that soon it will stop. And the reality is, for everyone, we live in these bodies of death, we will die. God has set eternity in every man's heart. We cannot escape the reality that the curse of being a child of Adam is here, and it's real, and it's upon us. So what's happened? Well, to the extent that one feels their pain and their misery, to the extent that one feels their leprous sore of sin increase in them and the effects of, quote, losing limbs maybe, if you will, losing life, they will begin to look for a remedy. They will cry out to Jesus. I was reading a book the other day, how we in America have created a Jesus of our own design and has one who has formed our culture. I was amazed to read that the book, that never before has Jesus been believed upon more in our day among Buddhists, Muslims, all religions. The country is full of, quote, believers in Jesus. Even among non-Christian and atheists, half of them believe in Jesus. Everyone on this quest and search to be freed from their misery and pain, and Jesus today is sort of presented as the great heal-all. It makes sense in the way that he's presented to us. Just come to him, he will give you a life of happiness, he will physically give all the healing that you need, and so people feeling the effects of sin, the consequences of it, the hard realities of life will come to Jesus, and they will cry out to him. Why do you think faith healing is so big today? People are in need of help. And the same was true of Jesus then. The news had spread of all these healings he was doing. His fame had been throughout the land, and here were 10. But there was nothing more than physical religion here. To them, he was a healer who could just change their physical problem. And that's what our text leaves us with as I close today. There are different types of faith presented to us in the scriptures. Many believe in Jesus. They will have faith in his miracles, but they will not come to him as the Lord of their life. Many today want a Jesus who can change their circumstances. Many want a Jesus who can give them deliverance from their pain. And hey, they'll believe in him for that. They'll believe in him for all these good things he does. But they will not come to him as the one who can deal with their biggest problem. Their sin. And Jesus is here showing us that. 10 came, but only one came back who really understood his need for the inward washing away of all of his soul's impurities, all of his sin. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here today. Oh, you can get many benefits outwardly, but do you have that which is most important? Is Jesus the Savior to save you from all of your sins? Look to Jesus today as the only way, truth, and life. Give you a sincere invite to join us this Sunday for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you. Or you're welcome to give us a call, 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.